the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
It is Tuesday night, November 7th, 2017, episode 523 of The Rant is officially live across the airwaves, Rant Entertainment Media, Rant EM Radio. com. Tune in Radio, Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and all those other fun, exciting platforms. Double A, as always, here talking to you, enjoying the wrestling game, talking the wrestling game. Being joined by Dr. Doom.
What's going on, guys?
And we'll be joined by Tony C in just a little bit. Because I think Tony C is getting his stuff together.
Crushed pineapple.
Yeah, he's getting his stuff together, I think. Because he tried calling in. I was streaming the Wizards, because they were having some technical difficulties. So I was streaming them, and then here we are now. There's Mr. C, Tony C, come on.
Hold on, Double A. Let me get a call out to get this guy on his air tonight since it's a special roundtable.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. I got to get Tony C on first. That's more important than any call out. Okay. Now, we are going to. Let's see if Tony C picks up here. No. Tony C, call in. We don't need no Skype issues. See, if we can't get Tony C on. That's a problem. Can't get anybody on. Anyways, real quick, we're going to talk a little bit of a programming note. We're going to do things a little bit differently. We're going to be on the air for 1 hour. We're going to talk about the things leading into the Montreal Screwjob. We're going to let you guys do your thing. And then we're going to break at 10 o'clock to watch Ric Flair's 30 for 30 on ESPN. We'll be back on the air at the conclusion of the special, which will be at 11:30, to recap the 30 for 30 and give our closing remarks and things like that. So, Tony C, hurry up and call in so we can get started here. Now, you were saying make your appeal.
Hightower, yeah. You know what tonight's about. You need to bring your ass on the air.
Well, you know,
finally get this.
He's in California. He don't give a damn.
Right. Hey, this is Brett versus Sean, damn it.
Wow. Tony C.
Hey, yo.
There we go. Hold on.
All these damn political races interfering with my damn.
I know. I know you Skype. I know you had your finger on the pulse. You were eyeballing that governor's race in New Jersey, so
I was in that Virginia governor's race
and
as
Virginia
well.
Too.
Man, you know, it'd be almost a cold day in hell for Republican wins in Virginia. It's been Democrats long.
Now
I still get mail up there.
We say hello to the chat room. I see Pastor Sadell and Phil in the chat room. Phil, I saw Phil went out and voted. Him and the wifey, the unsilent majority.
I voted.
Everybody voted. See, I didn't vote because I had nothing to vote for here. There's nothing going on down here.
So was Rage anywhere around when Chris Christie was arguing with that lady?
I'm sure he was, watching way back in the crowd with a bag of popcorn. Anyways, we're not going to waste that much time because we are going to talk, because we are only going to be on the air for 60 minutes, and we're going to break at 10 o'clock, like I said, and then we're going to break to watch the Ric Flair 30 for 30 special, which is something that I've been waiting for a long time. This is something I've been waiting for 2 years. Okay?
Yeah, my...
So...
Yeah.
Go ahead. What were we going to say?
So you're going to pop some popcorn and, you know...
I've got my stuff ready. I've got it ready.
When is Terrible Leah getting the 30 for 30? That's all I want.
Well, that's coming up. Maybe next, Tony C. That's coming up next. Now...
I get offended.
Real quick, we're going to talk. Let me address a couple of big stories that have come out on the wrestling front this week. Number one, the leak of the naked pictures of JoJo.
Yes.
Hey.
You know, Bray Wyatt, you shouldn't leave your phone around. Number two, obviously the breaking news going around that broke. You know, I'm against spoilers, but WWE went ahead and spoiled it anyway. And they, you know, because the show aired live in England. And that is that the man himself, Alan Jones, a.k.a. AJ Styles, at around, oh, I'd say about 9:59 and change tonight, will be crowned your new WWE champion. Now he'll go into the Survivor Series in 2 weeks, or in 10 days, I should say, to face Brock Lesnar, champion versus champion. But there's already conspiracy theories running amok, saying that Jinder Mahal will retain the title, will regain the title next Tuesday night on SmackDown.
Jinder got popped.
Yeah, that's they finna do an injury angle from what I heard.
So we'll see what happens.
Hold on, wait a minute.
We'll see what happens
you say
Monday
Jinder
night.
Gonna retain?
Regain.
Nah, I heard he popped hot, and they're gonna do an injury angle that he's been hurt for 30 days. He's gonna be hurt, and then he'll come back and get it.
Well, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Of course, we'll talk more in detail about these things, you know, in detail when we have more time. But right now, it looks like going into the Survivor Series, it's going to be AJ versus Brock. We'll see what happens this coming Monday night on Raw when they're in Atlanta, Georgia, and then next Tuesday when they're in, they're in Charlotte next Tuesday. So we'll see what happens. But we're here right now because this coming Friday night on Turnbuckle Throwbacks, the throwback of the week, the 1997 Survivor Series. But tonight on this program, we're going to talk about the events leading into the Survivor Series and what prompted ultimately the Screwjob. Now, of course, there's a little bit of a debate going on here between Hightower and Dr. Doom. And let's quickly talk about all this because this is, without a doubt, of the top five things that have ever happened in wrestling, this is up there as one of the most shocking in that top five category, of course. Owen Hart, Chris Benoit, and some other things, you know, that have happened would be considered in that top five. This, in terms of things that did not happen that were tragedies, this has to probably be the worst.
Yeah.
But I guess we need to go back in time, got to go back to 1996 when really things started. And in 1996, WrestleMania 12, the main event, Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart, the World Wrestling Federation title was on the line. 60-minute Iron Man match, the match went a draw. Of course, then-President Gorilla Monsoon came out, restarted the match, demanded that there must be a winner. Shawn Michaels came out victorious in that match, became the new WWF champion, and thus the new generation, a new generation of in the WWF began, of course, that the era of the Heartbreak Kid. It was after WrestleMania 12, Bret took a short sabbatical from the WWF, and during that sabbatical, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash went down to WCW, they went down to Atlanta, signed contracts with Ted Turner. The NWO became the phenomenon of that summer. And then the speculation started that Bret Hart was also being considered of joining WCW. And all of that is true. It's been documented. Mm-hmm. Bret was being squired by Eric Bischoff to come to WCW. Bret had already been in the WWF for 13 years at that time, or 14 years, and was considering leaving because, you know, as Eric had done with Scott Hall and Kevin Nash and some others that had come before them, he threw a lot of money at them. He threw a lot of money at Bret and tried to convince Bret to join WCW, to leave the WWF, and, you know, you're going to make millions with me, you're going to do big things with me and all these things, things you've never done before. And Bret gave it a lot of thought and ultimately opted to stay with the World Wrestling Federation. Of course, there was that promo that aired on Monday Night Raw, or I believe it was on Superstars that aired, I believe, around September of 96, where Bret was in the center of the ring with Jim Ross. And he was talking about what had been going on in his life and the things that he was considering. And that ultimately that, you know, that if he wanted to continue his career, he wanted to continue his career with the World Wrestling Federation. And thus, he stayed with the WWF. At the time, it was reported that Bret had signed a 20-year contract with the WWF. And I don't know if there was a guarantee in the contract, but Bret was being paid very handsomely by Vince. That was the fall of 96. And now we fast forward 1 year later to September 97. Bret Hart is the WWF champion. And we're going into what ultimately would become the first Hell in a Cell match. And he is in the process of, while Shawn Michaels is in the middle of a feud with The Undertaker, he is also on a side feud with Bret Hart. There'd been a lot of backstage animosity between Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart. A lot of it spelled out on camera. They really did not like each other. And while all this was going on, the WWF was in financial ruins. The company was on the verge of collapse and going out of business. And Vince approaches Bret Hart and says, "Bret, I need to let you out of your contract. I cannot afford you anymore. Can you contact WCW and see if they, if that deal that they offered you is still on the table?" Bret didn't want to leave, but Bret, being loyal to Vince, decided, okay, I will do you the favor. I will leave. I'll go to WCW, and maybe when it's time, I'll come back. So, the word got out. Bret was leaving the WWF, going to WCW. Like I said, Bret was the WWF champion. Hell in a Cell had just passed, so naturally the next match on the docket was Bret versus Shawn at the 1997 Survivor Series, which was to take place in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. A big event for the WWF. And of course, there was a lot of feuds and a lot of promos and a lot of heated exchanges going into the event. Of course, we've talked about the Pittsburgh promo. Bret was anti-American and pro-Canada, and anytime they went into Canada, they were regarded as heroes, and the baby faces were regarded as the villains and the heels. That was always in Canada, and of course, in the States, it was the other way around. Here we are, 1997. Things are not looking good for Vince. Bret Hart is now going to WCW. Word on the street, the contract is for a rumored, it's a 5-year deal, rumored at around $7 or $8 million, which means Bret's getting a million plus for every year on the contract, plus I'm sure there's other incentives. And ultimately what happened was Vince asked Bret to do the honors. Bret wouldn't do it. And Vince ultimately had to screw Bret to save his title from going essentially to Atlanta. Okay, so that's pretty much the story. Let's talk about the sequence of events and why we think what happened happened. So, Hightower, you and Dr. Doom have been going back and forth now for quite some time about this nonsense. Your side is with Shawn Michaels. Doom, you side with
Bret.
And Tony C sides with Vince. So, at least that's what I think. I'm speaking on behalf of Tony C. Yeah. So,
Bret screwed Bret.
There you go. So he is siding with Vince. So
I got you on that. But see, I've been listening to, see, people like Bruce Pritchard and stuff came out, and I'm going to blame Vince on this, because Vince let some things go, and he's never really, I don't think Vince ever, during that time frame, had control of that, of the wrestlers in the company, but I'll bring that evidence to light of what I heard on different podcasts. with certain people that they let slide.
I think Shawn Michaels didn't know until that night it was going to happen.
Well, Sean,
I'm going to stay to my guns about that.
Well, Sean's gone on record in saying that Sean knew what was going to happen a couple of days in advance, and that he was in a hotel room with Jerry Briscoe, and that Jerry Briscoe was showing him how to protect himself in the event that something were to happen.
Yeah. But, see, the issue I had was, it goes back to Jeff Jarrett and some of these other guys that were on per-night deals. Mm-hmm. And I think they could have gave a one-night deal or something for that Raw to finish up this angle. And I do believe that.
Yeah, but that was never up for debate. What Vince's concern was, because here's the deal. Brett was on contract, and his contract was set to expire whenever his final match was. So his contract essentially expired at the Survivor Series. But if Brett would have agreed to go, and Brett did agree to go to Raw the next night, then naturally the contract would have been extended to Monday Night Raw. There was no need to sign an addendum to add the additional day.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think he would have did the honors. Now, this is what the other stuff I heard is Sean has held Vince up plenty of times with that IC belt when time he went home.
But I don't
understand how Vince didn't get in control of this stuff before then, because it's been incidents, as I've been hearing on the Bruce Pritchard podcast, that, you know, lots of people have been holding Vince up with belts and contracts.
Let me say this to Vince's defense. When this happened, and to the best of my own knowledge, this was the last time it's happened, and that's that in 1997, the WWF was still a mom-and-pop organization. Granted, it was a big mom-and-pop organization, but it is not the publicly traded company and the global behemoth that it is today.
Yeah.
Okay? So that has something to do with it. Go ahead, Hightower.
Yeah, you might be right, but just one thing I want to say. Okay, Stone Cold, Shawn Michaels at that time was hot.
Uh-huh.
He just had to do the honors, just like Shawn Michaels didn't want to do the honors for Stone Cold in 1998, was like 98, right?
98,
at WrestleMania, but he still did it.
Well, that was threat of Undertaker whooping his ass that night too. Sean didn't do a lot on. Like I said, I've been listening, man, and some people are supposed to go over. And I wish I would written this stuff down. It's been a lot of podcasts, but Sean was not.
But at the end of the day, he still did it
a lot of times. Nah, man, like he didn't want to put over Vader. Still did it. Nah, I mean, Sean screwed Vader.
He laid down for Hogan. He didn't want to. But he laid down for Hogan.
Keep Hollywood out of this now.
Yeah.
Ain't got nothing to do with Hollywood.
Yeah.
I know, but I'm just saying, look, Shawn Michaels might get mad and don't want to do it, but eventually he'll do it.
I mean, he no show the show or something and went back to Texas and told Vince, if he wanted this damn title, send somebody down to Texas to pick it up. Because he didn't want to do a job. I mean, he lost his smile because he didn't want to do the job to Brett, the return
favors. Well, and he also got his ass handed to him in a nightclub a couple of weeks before.
Well, he shouldn't have been talking to that one Marine. It wasn't multiple Marines. You know, he got his ass whooped by one dude.
Now,
Bret Hart was mad because he wasn't the one. He wasn't, you know, they was at that time, they had their backs against the wall, and WWE started to change, which was the Attitude Era, and Shawn Michaels was the hot ticket.
But
ushered the Attitude Era. It was not Shawn Michaels. It was Bret.
It wasn't Shawn Michaels, but who?
But here's
yeah, it was Bret.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. In wrestling, okay, you doing the honors, okay, is a time-honored tradition in the business. Here's the issue, though. If you are the outgoing champion, because here's the thing, and you could say what you will about Ric Flair and Bret Hart, and Rick is going to, I wonder if they'll talk about this today, but Rick also did the same thing that Bret did. The only difference is WCW didn't even allow Rick to defend the title. They just took the title off Rick, and that's it. Because what happened was, and I don't, it's not that I agree with what WCW wanted, but in 1991, Ric Flair, or they asked Ric Flair to drop the title to Lex Luger before leaving WCW. And Rick said, "I'm not doing it." He says, I'll drop it to Barry Windham or I'll drop it to Sting, but I'm not going to drop it to Lex Luger.
And that's the same thing that Bret said.
Now, but here's the thing. They were going to drop this title at a house show, and that was going to be that. Bret held up Vince, and not necessarily held it up, because if you ever watched Wrestling with Shadows, you know,
he said he didn't want to do it in Canada.
He didn't want to do it in Canada. And I understand Bret. His logic.
Oh well.
I understand his logic, but also in Bret, in here's in Vince's defense. In Vince's defense, this was a pay-per-view. We're not talking about a house show. Okay, we're not talking about, you know, some live event somewhere in the Midwest where, you know, you get into a spat and you say, "Well, return my title." You have to come and drop the title before you leave. No, this was a live pay-per-view, was advertised as such. Everybody knew going into the pay-per-view was going to be Bret's last match. Everybody knew it. It wasn't a secret. And, you know,
Sean was a damn prick.
Sean was a prick.
Drug addict.
Yes, he was.
And if Sean...
Yeah, he was a drug addict. He was a prick, but God damn it, he laid down. Even if Undertaker had to whoop his ass and threaten him, he still laid down.
That's not laying down willingly. It was, "Hey, I'm finna get my ass whooped," because Undertaker did.
Basically, he got raped. The lay down.
Yeah,
he got threatened.
This won't put nobody.
Shawn Michaels know that WWE is bigger than Shawn Michaels. He knew that.
Bullshit.
Bret Hart thought he was bigger than wrestling. Bret Hart is not Hulk Hogan.
No, he did not.
I agree on that. A little piece of that.
I would give it a little bit. I think Bret does believe a little bit too much of his own clippings, as Macho Man once said, or JJ
Dillon. I mean, it was Angle saying he just would come out on his own and shake his ass. He ain't got nothing to do with the damn angle. He ain't even wrestling. So you try to tell me a dude that be coked up was not fooling himself, man.
I got a question for you, Dawg. Okay. After Alondra Blaze went and dropped that man's title in the trash, you really thought in the back of your mind that he's going to chance that happening again?
It almost did with Jeff Jarrett, and that's when he canned him that second time.
But that's not his world title.
That was the IC title.
That's not the world title.
I don't think Bret would have did that. That's what I'm saying.
Well, who was Vince to know?
Would you think Vince would have talked to him? Like I said, we're looking at
this. What if Vince called Bret?
No, I don't.
What if Bischoff called Bret and say, "I'm gonna get extra $5 million"?
Father figure. Wasn't Vince and Bret like almost father and son at that time?
Yes, they were.
What if Bischoff would have called him and said, "I'll give you extra $3 million"? you bring the title. Brett didn't drop even want to leave
for the money. Like I said, it was hard pressed. He did it because for his
family. Well, if he wanted to leave for the money, he could have stayed. Now, that logic makes no sense.
No.
He could have stayed in the WWE.
He could have no. Vince,
he could have renegotiated. He could have renegotiated.
Took less money. Both points are good, but I don't think Brett would leave just because he got thrown an extra $5 million to bring the title. I don't think.
Brett was loyal to Vince.
That's what I think.
If he that loyal, why he left?
Because Vince asked him to.
Yes.
So you mean to tell me if I'm gonna take the old parenting route? If Vince asked him to jump off of Brooklyn Bridge and go do it?
At the time, he wasn't making that money.
Let me tell you something.
Taker was making money and Stone Cold got hot and making money.
Let me tell you something. I'm gonna give you an example of the reverse side of this. There's a rumor going around, and there's no way we're ever going to know it, because I don't think he'll ever admit to doing it, and the other party is no longer with us. There was a report going around that Eric Bischoff asked Brian Pillman to leave WCW and to go to ECW and the WWE and then come back in a couple of years and, you know, we can make him a huge star. That was the report going around, and it wasn't financial. It was just that he felt that he could utilize Pillman if Pillman were to leave, and it would get over bigger. He was trying to build a future character, essentially.
Yeah.
I don't think Bischoff will ever come out and say that that's what happened, and you know, obviously Brian Pillman's no longer with us. So there's no way that we're ever going to know that. But in this situation, I'm under a firm belief that Vince asked Brett, I need you to leave, go to WCW, make a few dollars, work a little less. You can put the money in the bank. And then in a couple of years, once things get better here, you can come back. I think that's what was Vince's intention, and I think that was Brett's intention.
Make that quick money.
I'm talking
real
about
quick.
That whole title situation.
But that's the thing.
Alundra
never was fired from the WWE. Her contract just expired,
and they didn't care about the belt.
Yeah. I'm talking about with
but
the
they
title.
Didn't care. They didn't care.
Yeah, they didn't care about the women's title.
They were embarrassed after it happened.
They forgot
you
about
think,
it.
Exactly. So you think
it was real. It was still disrespectful to Vince.
It's still disrespectful. Exactly. We're not. We're not debating. We're not debating that. But it never crossed But wait a minute. It never crossed anybody's mind.
Yes.
He said this, it on the DVD. He was the title to show up over there.
But it, I doubt man. That. But here's the thing.
He said it.
Well. I think
Vince said it out of his mouth.
Well, but listen, I think Vince probably thought that it would never happen, and it did. And then after it happened, he was embarrassed on live TV. Because here's what happened in 1991.
He said it wasn't going to happen again.
In 1991, let me tell you, in 1991, you know the first person to do that? Ric Flair. Ric Flair took the WCW title and showed up on Vince's TV.
Of course.
And Vince
He
didn't dump it in the trash. He used it, and then he got thrown a cease and desist. But
exactly.
But
Bischoff would have had Bret Hart throw that.
I don't know. Just like listen, I think you know what I think would have happened.
Throw it off the bridge.
I'm going to give you the honest opinion. If that would have happened, where Bret would have shown up on Nitro with the World Wrestling Federation title. I don't think Brett himself would have done anything to the title. He would have just went to Bischoff and said, "Here."
Yeah, Bischoff would have threw it in the trash.
He would have probably
done. It would have ended up in the trash.
He probably would have done far worse.
I mean, Brett.
in the water, in the ocean.
Might have been.
Brett was one of those last people that actually cared about the title.
I think Brett has more integrity.
He was one of those champions that
he has integrity.
But he also naive to think that man was going to risk his title showing up over there and get put in trash again. I'm sorry.
But when you have a relationship.
That's naivety.
It is naivete. Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
But it's, listen, we're not talking about the Ultimate Warrior here.
Yo, that held him up on money. I mean, if you've known the stuff that Shawn Michaels did to Vince McMahon, they had to have some kind of relationship or something going on, because this dude have you listened to Bruce Prichard's podcast?
Nah, come on.
Have you heard the stuff that Shawn has done to Vince? Going home, refusing to do stuff, having little bitch fits.
That's why I think crying. There's a you know, Jim Ross is a Bret Hart supporter, okay? And I've heard JR say a couple of times that one of Bret's traits or one of Bret's things that Bret always did was Bret always showed up to the building late. Okay? But he says, you know what? I would rather have you know, 20 superstars that showed up to the building late that were like Bret than have to deal with some of the drama that we have to deal with now with the current roster. This is a while ago when JR was in charge of talent. I really believe that, you know, I say what you will about Bret after he left WWE, but I think prior to the Montreal Screwjob, I think Bret really just, outside of him believing his own hype, really just was all around just a team player. And I get it. I get it. I think Bret probably...
Except for against the Patriot.
The Patriot had drug issues.
Here's the issue. I think Bret's intentions were in the right place. But I don't think he was thinking rationally. Because I'm thinking that, like Tony C said, maybe Bret was naive. He probably was not in tune with ultimately what the Monday Night Wars was. And I don't know how you cannot be. I mean, but whatever. And listen, when you're throwing so much money, and you know, Bret was able to set up his family. For a good amount of time. I think though that Bret would have ultimately, listen, a lot of things would have happened had Bret never left. I don't think the Owen Hart tragedy would have ever happened. Bret obviously would have never suffered the concussion, and Bret probably would have just wrestled until it was time for Bret to retire.
Instead of damn Goldberg kicking his damn head off.
You know, and who knows, Bret could have been one of the leaders of the Attitude Era. Mm-hmm. And listen, Bret joined the NWO in 1999. Maybe in 1999, Bret would have joined DX. We don't know.
Or the corporation.
Or whatever. We don't know what could have happened.
Hey, Hightower, if it weren't for Bret, you wouldn't even have D-Generation X. So you better put some respect on his damn name, all right?
Bret to him at heart is a homo.
Now,
wanted to keep it at one.
Now, this is...
It wasn't going to happen that way.
Now, that's my stance on Bret's thinking.
Yeah.
But I feel Bret should have done the honors. Bret should have dropped the title... And that would have been that. And that's it.
Then went on down the road.
And that's it.
Went on down the road.
None of this, everything else that happened subsequently, would have never happened.
Yeah. But you can't say that.
He could have did what Shawn Michaels did to Hogan. Just overreact everything. Make the match hella stupid.
No,
that's called killing the territory.
It could just be like that. It doesn't that's matter.
That wouldn't kill no territory. Like
listen, you know the bigger and better match would have been, you know, the ultimate rematch between Brett and Sean, you know, maybe 3-4 years down the road.
Yeah. Brett versus Austin. You could have got that one as a return match.
Exactly.
Because that was hot.
I just watched the pay-per-view where Edge lost in Canada. He beat Cena. Cena beat him. I'm sorry. Cena beat him.
Right.
In his hometown.
Exactly. It's
so who is Bret Hart?
And it wasn't even his hometown. It was Montreal. Of all places.
I got that.
You know?
I'm not saying that is. Nah, but all I'm saying is Shawn Michaels was not as innocent as everybody makes him out to be.
I'm not saying that Shawn is. I'm just saying Bret, if the direction was
I'm talking
Shawn,
about the day in question.
If the direction was to have Shawn become champion, Bret should have said, you know what? It's my last day. Okay. Bret says.
But he also said
he dropped it to the Takers.
Bret said he had creative control.
Yes, he said anybody but Shawn Michaels.
And Bret claims
he almost cost his marriage.
And Bret claims he had creative control in his last match. He claims that he was given creative control. Obviously, that didn't happen. But
he didn't know he got screwed. He's gonna get screwed. Obviously, he had that much control. Because he didn't know he was going to get screwed.
No.
He got screwed.
Shawn Michaels is a changed man.
Hey, damn that.
You gotta let the past be the past, man.
No, damn that.
Okay?
We talk about 97. We ain't talking about Child of God Shawn Michaels. All right. You ain't going to sit here and use that excuse tonight, damn it. Right now, we damn 1997.
Point blank, period.
There's been a few times where the title has been, you know, the Montreal Screwjob is not the first screwjob in wrestling.
No.
But it's the most notorious and the most infamous. We can take you back in time. We'll take you back to Wendy Richter and the Fabulous Moolah. There was, I don't know if it's considered a screwjob, but the night Tommy Rich beat Harley Race for the NWA World title was a quote-unquote screw job as well. There's been a couple of them out there, you know? And
yep.
But this was the most...
just took his ass on down the road.
Hey, but if this wouldn't have happened, you would have never got the Mr. McMahon character either, so...
But no, that's not necessarily true.
If Bischoff didn't happen, you wouldn't got Vince
exactly.
McMahon.
Exactly. I agree with what Tony C said. Because Bischoff came out first, he was the TV character, and if you recall, leading prior to the screw job, Vince had already... had started coming out as a character on TV in some forms. I'll take you back to September 27th, 1997. The Raw in Madison Square Garden, the night where Austin stunned McMahon the first time. And McMahon was flailing around like a fish in the ring.
Worst stunner ever.
Okay, worst stunner ever, but then again, it was McMahon's first. That was like the beginning times of the Mr. McMahon character. I believe a few weeks prior to that, and JR says that one of the most volatile... I remember things in segments that, you know, other people have talked about. JR talked about one of the most volatile situations he's ever been in his entire career was the night that they were in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and Bret confronted Vince at the announce position and knocked the headphones off Vince's head. And they started having the tug of war at the table.
Yeah, I remember that. That was some of Bret's best work.
Okay.
Was that heel run during that time?
That was the Mr. McMahon character started coming out at that time. And I'll even I'll go further back than that. That I believe that what kind of lit, you know, the spark that lit the fire was the infamous promo where Brett snapped.
The bullshit promo. Brett, to me, was the catalyst to kick off the Attitude Era. Because he was willing. Like I said, he was a company man.
But it also,
you know, at that time, heels was not selling merch.
It spawned the McMahon character, though. Because remember, what did he do? What was the beginning of that promo? He shoved McMahon on his ass.
Yeah.
You know, and
it was bullshit. I'm sorry. I almost resigned.
Yeah. I think.
You bet you can.
I think Vince was a businessman in this situation. Brett was naive. And what had to be done had to be done.
And Sean was a damn opportunist hyena.
He was an opportunist. You know, and I think it's
Triple H called a play.
We know how he go. You know, Shawn Michaels come out, shake ass. That dude was full of himself then.
Now we know,
he was very entertaining.
Now we know the Survivor Series
went on roll.
Broke his damn back.
We know everything that happened subsequently. We know that Earl Hebner, who by the way left Impact Wrestling with his son this past week, hauled ass out of the ring. He said
ticket was out of Montreal that night.
Earl had a car waiting for him outside the building. His bags were in the car already.
You think he had his brother in there and they split up and they were chasing him and they didn't know which one to run after?
I think he left the building. He got in his car and he left the building.
See, my thing is, when I saw the documentary, why did he have to, hit Vince McMahon and all that?
Here's what happened. So, the outcome happened. Brett got screwed and, of course, he hocked a loogie in Vince's face, which is so disgusting. So Brett destroys the ringside area, destroys the announcing tables and things like that. There's the infamous video of Brett writing the letters with his fingers, WCW. Then Brett goes backstage. Brett's in his dressing room and Brett's getting ready to take a shower and Vince walks in. And he walks in with Pat Patterson and Gerald Briscoe and probably some other people. And Vince told Brett, "I know you're upset. I understand. So let's just let it out. Go ahead and hit me." And Vince just stood there. Brett reared back and knocked Vince on his ass. And gave him a big black eye, which we all saw on television the subsequent night when Vince cut that promo. What many people feel was the birth of the Mr. McMahon character, the Brett Screwed Brett promo.
See, that shit pissed me off. That's when Undertaker should have stepped in and knocked Brett out.
Well, what's funny is the next night where, I don't know where they were the next night, they probably were in Toronto or something, and, you know, there were, obviously the locker room was upset, and they were staging a protest, and they were rallying the troops, and they said, okay, you know what, guys, we're not going to show up to work, and that's that. Screw them, they can figure out how to do the show without us on Monday night, and the only one that didn't show up to work was Mick Foley. So,
Undertaker was pissed that night.
Of course. But
everybody was not behind Shawn Michaels. Let's get that shit straight.
It doesn't matter.
That
but...
part is not up for debate here.
Yeah.
What is... Listen. Take Sean out of this, okay, and put in, wrestler X.
He would have dropped the title.
He probably wouldn't do it.
I don't know if Brett would have dropped the title.
Yeah, he would.
No, he wouldn't.
It was a known fact he didn't want to drop the title to Shawn Michaels.
That had a part of it.
No, he wouldn't.
That had a part of it, but I think Brett didn't want to be embarrassed in Canada.
He would have did the honors in Canada if it was anybody else except Shawn Michaels.
But here's the thing. Do we have any... You see, this is where my... Where my wrestling historians have to come in.
They wanted to put it on Ken Shamrock.
But here's
I'm rubbing them here. There was discussion of hell, because Jim Cornette was talking about it, was hell, Brett would have put it on damn Ken Shamrock.
I get that, but I want to know, is there any record, okay, this is where my Canadian fans and my historians out there need to message me if they're within earshot of this, whether they're listening live or they're listening to a replay. Is there any record of Brett doing the honors on any occasion in Canada?
Oh, let me see.
No, because he didn't even lose that Canadian Stampede. Nope.
That's, I don't know how many times Jericho got his ass whipped in Canada.
That's what we need to ask. Did Brett ever do the honors for anything in Canada? And I'm not talking about during his time in Stampede Wrestling.
In the WWE.
I'm talking about at any, were there any Survivor Series elimination matches that took place in Canada that we know about that he was a part of? Were there any other title matches? Were there any other matches in general that took place in Canada that Brett came out the loser in that match? I don't think so. It didn't happen in WCW either, because I'm going to tell you what. Tony C.
They never went to WCW.
No. The first time that WCW went to Canada, and Tony C, you'll remember this vividly. The first time WCW went to Canada, they went to Toronto on March 9th, 1999. Do you remember what happened on that night, Tony C.?
Wasn't that the Ric Flair promo?
Nope.
With him?
Nope. It is an infamous night, though, in Nitro history, though, involving Bret Hart.
Damn it. They don't,
it was a dance promo, isn't it? No, it is the promo that Bret cut in the middle of the ring wearing the Montreal Maple Leafs jersey. And Bret Hart came out, or not Bret Hart, Goldberg came out and speared him, and Brett gets up.
Yeah, he had the plate.
And he had the plate under the jersey.
Yeah. I'm trying to. Where can I find out where his title reigns is at? Because they'll tell you where he lost it, right?
Just go. Damn. You'd have to go to each individual title. And they said, look, Brett won his first WWF title. Where?
Nova Scotia.
You know, in Saskatoon.
Saskatoon, my bad.
Yeah. So
mm-hmm. He beat Ric Flair, though.
He beat Ric Flair.
Flair put him over.
Flair put him over in Canada. Flair did the honors. Unexpectedly, by the way.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
On tape delay.
So, you know, I don't know. Brett is definitely at fault. Both parties are to blame here. But I think the person that holds the majority of the blame is Brett.
Yep.
Brett could have avoided a lot of these problems. There would, and Brett would have never have gone 15 years without being in the WWE.
Mm-hmm. And he might have, he wouldn't have had a stroke.
He wouldn't have had the stroke. He would have never been in a feud with Vince.
Well, you got to blame Vince on that one.
No.
He should have damn paid the money to damn, let's see, Intercontinental title.
You know, we're going to...
He should have did the job and went about his business.
Hell no.
I'm trying to find a damn going... It's hard to find.
And the problem is, if you watch Wrestling with Shadows, there's the infamous audio of Brett saying, I don't have to beat Shawn. You know? It could be a schmoz.
He could do a DQ, a schmoz.
That's what he called it. A DQ. It could be a run. It could be whatever. And then I'll just do my.
He thought Bulldog and Owen was going to run in.
Mm-hmm.
And cost them a match.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So
Vince ain't trying that.
And then you go, you know, Mick Foley felt that, you know, Vince screwed Brett. Okay, fine. But if you watch those Legends of Wrestling roundtables, Pat Patterson was on many of them. Pat was very vocal about the Montreal Screwjob, but Pat made it very clear. Brett was asked to do the right thing, and he didn't, and that was wrong. That those are Pat Patterson's words.
Pat Patterson.
So
he lost the IC title in London.
That ain't Canada.
Speaking of international title changes, AJ Styles winning the WWE title today becomes the first champion in WWE history to win the title outside North America.
I did not want to see Brock in AJ.
Oh, I think that's going to be a lot better, because why would you have liked to see Brock destroy Jinder?
And he's going to destroy AJ Styles.
I don't think so. AJ's going to give him a fight.
He's only won one championship in Canada, WWF. That was his first one from Ric Flair.
But
all his other title reigns and wins were in the States.
Okay.
Well, we said, did he lose?
Did he lose?
Just the one in the Montreal.
Exactly. That's the only one.
But right. I don't think they was touring Canada as much. That's what I'm saying.
No, WWE's been touring Canada.
He lost
for
a lot. And,
WWE's been touring Canada for 30 years.
Okay. I mean,
what I asked was, is there any proof, whether it's a title match or not, where Brett did not go over in Canada?
You sound like one of them Trump supporters on CNN right now.
Hold up.
You looking.
No, I'm just saying this.
It doesn't have to be a title match. I just want proof that Brett did not go over in Canada.
Hell, how many times has Shawn Michaels lost in Texas? Let me pull it.
Shawn lost a WrestleMania match in Texas.
Bret Hart should have retained the championship at the Iron Man match instead of Shawn Michaels winning. And then a year later, have somebody could chase the title. And then I bet you would have no problem.
Shawn would chase the title. He would have went and cried the damn Vince with coke in his nose.
He just would have been crying.
But he was doing that the whole time. He was sabotaging people's damn pushes and whatchamacallit. Somebody would get over.
And Shawn Michaels' defense, he did lose to Bret Hart in the early 90s, like when Bret Hart first title reign.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But again, let's get this true, because it's getting close. I think they beef all started because of Sonny. And we done forgot that other party out. Because if it was not for Sonny, Shawn and Bret was they were tight. So we got to put all this on Sonny.
No, you put all on Bret, because all he had to do was lose and go to a new company.
No, what I'm saying is, I don't think they would have had that animosity as they did. Because it was all about business.
Even if you got animosity towards somebody, the right thing to do is go ahead and lose. That's just like Hogan, if he would have held up, threw a tissy fit for WrestleMania 6. No, the man is over.
If John Cena don't do it?
He do it. John Cena do it too.
He don't do it to certain people.
He don't do it to certain people. But if he had to, he would.
Bray Wyatt was hot as fish grease, and he cooled his damn jet.
Let me tell you something. Go ahead, Dr. Dub.
And don't forget about Rusev. He came out on the tank that night and still ain't got no victory back.
Of course he's gonna lose Russia. Come on now.
Now, ultimately, this is a debate that's going to go on for the rest of our lives. I don't think there's ever going to be a resolution to this.
It's three things that's going to go on for the rest of our lives. The 2016 election, Bret and Shawn, and Hogan and Sting. Three things.
Hogan and Sting will come to an end at some point.
And Hogan and DDP, because we never got to see that match, right?
What was that?
Hogan and DDP fought on Nitro before.
No, yeah, I'm talking about that match at that pay-per-view.
Oh,
well, that Goldberg DDP. Well, they showed the end of it on Nitro the next night.
It's on the network, though. It's on the network. You can watch it now.
Yeah. And Curtis Axel being in the Royal Rumble because he never got eliminated.
Oh, wait a minute. Let's turn the volume up for this. Hold on. There you go. All right.
I just want to know one thing. Mm-hmm. If for the second year in a row we get AJ Styles and John Cena at the Royal Rumble, I ain't watching it.
Well, it'll be in Philadelphia, so it'll be in Philly, so it'll be interesting.
Oh, yeah. I'll catch
y'all. Get Philly oh, yeah, Surfer will be there. The watch Cena win what?
No, that'll be 17. I got a cold feeling that Daniel Bryan is going to be cleared. I got that feeling.
Anyways.
Hey,
so with that, what we're going to do now is we're going to break. We're going to let everybody go and watch the ESPN 30 for 30 on Ric Flair. It is without a doubt one of the most anticipated documentaries to have come out in a very long time. And after watching that,
I'm about to watch Damnation.
After watching that Tommy 30 for 30, a few weeks ago, I know we're in for a treat tonight. So we'll be back here at 11:30 tonight. We're gonna do a 30-minute show where we'll recap the 30 for 30, and maybe we'll touch on a couple of other things. But join us back here 11:30 tonight. We're gonna recap the 30 for 30, and that's that. So we'll see you in 90 minutes, everybody. Later.